You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, The Trap of Performance. Today's Kizuki was another one of those quiet ones, but it stayed with me all day. So I've been speaking in the last couple of episodes about how just living can begin to be a little performative, like even trying to be authentic can become a little performative. This, of course, is because we're all so cultured towards effort, to strive to be good, whether it's for our parents, society, the school environment. And in my case, I have freshly realized that my cultured self leans more Japanese. But let me get to that in a second. I want to talk today about what living beyond our cultured, conditioned, goody-goody selves look like. What it means to live from the heart, not the head. It's actually a lot trickier than it sounds, I think. In so many ways, our culture conditions us to behave a certain way from a very early age. It trains us to be thinkers, and that to be a thinker is to be a well-behaved person, and that is to be a good person, or a good parent, or a good girlfriend, or daughter, or coworker, or whatever it is. The list goes on and on. In all these roles that we play, we perform in subtle ways to be that good version of self. It's so natural to us that oftentimes we don't even realize it anymore until it wears us out. It makes us tired. It's like, remember way back when Instagram first started and it was fun to instantly get to post and share what you're up to for all your friends to see? And it was all well and good for about 2 seconds until it became a whole performative thing. That is to say, as we all know now, even being real can turn into something we perform for someone else. I don't know if you know of Corey Mascara. He's someone I really respect highly, and he's a longtime meditator, and he's an Instagram phenom. I hope you follow him if you don't already. There was this quote of his that really sprung out at me recently. He wrote, "If connection meant performing a certain version of yourself, you'll sabotage authenticity because being real feels like being rejected." And oh my God, is that true for almost all of us? Because heck, we've been rejected, we've been scolded, we've been dismissed, we've been ignored for being the way we are in authenticity. And that hurts, right? It hurts to grow up in the world, in our environments, cultured by our parents and our school friends and society. It's not an easy road. And that's why it's still true that sometimes, a lot of times, authenticity feels risky. Yes, even now. Or maybe because now, because of all of the paper cuts to our hearts, because of all of the painful experiences that we've survived, it feels like expressing our true selves might cost us love, like someone we care about might like us less. And so we learn to adjust. We learn to become a version of ourselves that we believe is more acceptable to someone else or to societal norms. And slowly, slowly, we begin to lose touch with the thread of who we really are. In meditation, there's a concept, the progressive path and the direct path. The direct path says, there's no becoming, there's no fixing, there's not even really a practice to get there. It just says, be. Immerse yourself in being. You already are what you are. You're already there at the goal. There's no striving. The progressive path says, sure, you want to just be. However, when you try to just be, all these memories come up from past hurt or past pain. Your mental patterns come up and you want to blame people or you have unforgiveness. Therefore, you need to practice, clear your karma, perfect your practice, and purify yourself so that you may just be. There's like a whole journey to the progressive path. But the crazy thing is, I suppose I should say that, ultimately the direct path, right? It's equality for all. Anyone can get there. It's available. And it's not held back for the ones who practiced most or the ones who are most educated or the ones who were lucky enough to come across this information. No, it's available to all. But the progressive path has its place because for those of us, for whatever reason, for whatever mental constraints, or the Sanskrit word, I believe, would be vritti, like the movements of the mind that disturb us, the disturbances that keep us from just being there and remaining there. Then there's a purpose to the practice of purification and clearing the whole system of self. But even what seems at first like the direct path, the tricky thing is, it can be co-opted by the ego. So say, for example, you're just sitting and being. Sure enough, the mental narrative comes up and it's like, oh, I'm being. Look how still I am. Feel how quiet I am. How spiritual and lovely. And again, that whole commentary is like, we're back in performance, back in evaluation, and this narrative of, am I getting it right this time? And I chuckle as I say that because it's just so real. I mean, come on. I think you might know what I'm talking about. So here we get to the crux of it all. When all of that performance falls away, all that effort, and the narrative about your efforts and the evaluating where you might be and all of that falls away, what remains? I think people have called this different things, like pure being, pure awareness, or heart consciousness. It's being who you are, exactly as you are, without second thought. That is, in purity. Simply put, I like to call it purity of heart. Not moral perfection, not superiority, just the absence of constant commentary. It's the most intimate kind of presence, and innocent, like a child, like all of your thinking hasn't caught up to it. And yet, when we come back to that place as an adult, I feel it's the most courageous way to live a life. Recently, I've been reading Martha Beck's Finding Your North Star, which is an older title of hers, and she talks about the essential self and the social self. So as I was reading this book, I re-realized something I think I knew a long time ago, but I started to see it in greater clarity. My social self is shaped by Japanese norms. Duh. Well, of course, because I grew up in Tokyo, right? It's like there's a sense of reading between the lines, of refined communication, being considerate of your neighbors, not standing out too much, and all of that. And then the English-speaking aspect of me has a more kind of direct, expressive, bold aspect. And I think I used to just talk about it in terms of the different aspects of me, but it's actually more accurate to understand that not so much as a linguistic difference like the Japanese me and the English-speaking me, but the fact that I grew up immersed in a culture that says this is good, this is acceptable social behavior, and that is not. This is how you fit in, and that is not. So that distinction, though subtle, I thought like it really helps me to understand myself better. So in that sense, this, for me, isn't about like East versus West. It's more about the social self versus the essential self, as Martha Beck might say. And I'm learning how to let my essential self lead, as I think we all are. But purity of heart. It can be respectful of culture and, at the same time, not confined by it. It doesn't need to contort itself to fit in, or to adjust itself to earn love. It's just happy to be in expression, pure, unaltered expression of its joy of being. So today's Kizuki is a return to the heart before all the commentary takes place, to presence prior to performance. Pure and whole. Thank you for listening. Learn more about me and my Kizuki Journaling Meiwai Method at my website, kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. Or find me on Instagram at MAEYOSHIKAWA.